It's time to let the light in, let the light in. What's so weak?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin in Cherche, France. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. So join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our hosts Kevin and Cher from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Kevin and Cher.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, how's it going, Cher?
It's going. I didn't sleep good last night.
What? Oh. Man, I sleep like a baby.
Yeah, Paul's the same way.
I'm out, man.
My husband, Paul. You know Paul.
Yeah.
Yeah, he 5 seconds. Are you out in like 5 seconds?
You and name then it, you, man.
But you,
three.
But you said you don't dream. I think that's like one of the things, too.
It is weird.
Like when I'm sleeping, my dreams are crazy. Like,
right.
Yeah, I'm having all kinds of dreams, but I was
I lay my head down and then I just wake up.
Yeah.
When the alarm goes off.
Yeah.
It's like that quick.
Yeah.
But I don't know. How did we get on that? That was crazy.
Oh, you asked me how I was.
Hey,
I was griping.
All right.
So anyways,
Wonderful. Well, hey, everybody. I hope you guys slept well last night.
Yeah, you can hear
and,
good.
And we're here today to just talk with each and every one of you about the Word of God and how, you know, we've been studying on the miracles of Jesus and it's just been a great month, really, of just going through this stuff. And we had a little break over the holidays and all that, but we played some regular messages and then we came back. But, you know, this past week, I was just blown away with some of the stuff that we were able to bring out of these miracles.
Yeah, I've
and,
learned a lot.
We're still going.
We are. And you know what? I thought this is going to take us longer to get through. And maybe it's because sometimes we do a few of them in one day because
they're
a little bit shorter. But I'm like, oh my gosh, we're already on miracle 28.
I know. It's crazy.
Like we're over halfway.
Yeah.
So,
over.
But I really like doing these. I've learned a lot about Jesus. Not that we didn't already know about him, but it's just a whole nother, like how complex and how many different things he was doing and how planned out they were.
Oh yeah.
And how God led him to it. It just remind you of how and big our God is. It wasn't just coincidence.
Yeah,
you know?
And I love how we're seeing a progression, too, that, you know, he started out ministering just to the Jews, and then he's gone to the Gentiles, and now he's fed the Jews, and now he's feeding the Gentiles.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can just see the heart of God is really just for people.
Yep,
and
he's just covering every area of every thing that could possibly go against science and against the laws of the Pharisaical minds, and like he's
blowing their minds
every time.
He's blowing everybody's minds. You
so
know?
This is one of those miracles that this one that we're about to do that
I was surprised
because when I was coming up with the list and trying to figure it out, I was like, why do some say 40? Which ones did they leave out? And some say 37.
This is one of the ones they probably leave
this
out.
This is one of the ones that sometimes they leave out, and I'm like, this is a crazy good miracle.
Yeah,
so
for
I don't,
sure.
I think it's because maybe it's not in their minds directly connected to a
didn't happen to anyone
person,
else, right?
But it affected the disciples.
That's
so,
right.
Yeah. But
this
go
one
ahead,
is
go
Jesus ahead. Being transfigured on the mount.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a miracle.
Transfiguration, you know, it's like we haven't covered transfiguration
yet.
In other words, Jesus literally became in his godly form or in his glorified body form.
It's the glorified body.
We're
gonna get into it here.
It's in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 through
it's 13, 13. Verses. It's not too bad for a early week.
No,
reading.
It's good.
Go ahead, you can read.
You want me to read?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. I would love to read this because I love the word.
Yeah,
okay, so you guys ready? Join along with us. This is Matthew 17, 1 through 13, and it says this. 6 days later, Jesus took Peter and the two brothers, James and John, and he led them up on a high mountain to be alone. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as light. Suddenly, Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking with Jesus. Peter exclaimed, Lord, it's wonderful for us to be here. If you want, I'll make three shelters as memorials, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. But even as he spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my dearly loved son, who brings me great joy. Listen to him. The disciples were terrified and fell face down on the ground. Yeah, it's like God in a cloud. I mean, he couldn't even come in his glory, you know. But right. Then Jesus came over and touched them. He says, hey, get up. He said, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, Moses and Elijah were gone, and they saw only Jesus. As they went back down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, don't tell anybody what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead. Then his disciples asked him, what do the teachers of religious law insist that Elijah must return before the Messiah comes? And Jesus replied, Elijah is indeed coming first to get everything ready. Mm-hmm. But I tell you, Elijah has already come, but he wasn't recognized. And they chose to abuse him. And in the same way, they will also make the Son of Man suffer. Then the disciples realized he was talking about John the Baptist.
It's a crazy good story.
So, there's a lot in there.
There's a lot of stuff. So, you know, this is this amazing story of the transfiguration of Jesus on the mountain. And the event is marking this like major turning point in the gospel narratives because Jesus is beginning to turn. And we talked about this. There's this transition we've seen throughout the miracles. He's beginning to turn more and more to Jerusalem and the suffering and the death that is awaiting him. And
it's He's on the journey.
Right. And, you know, but before all that took place, there's this glimpse of glory that they get to see. And if we read even in the New Testament, it was because of that glory that was set before him, he was able to endure the cross. And I think this is just like, this is a deep one. I hope everybody's awake.
Yeah, this is a deep one. Think about it. I mean, if there was ever any doubt as to who Jesus was in any of their hearts, which I don't think there was, but you never know. You know, were they questioning? They were, you know, they're battling all kinds of stuff. I mean, you're with this guy; he's doing crazy stuff, you know, and you're like, yes, he's got to be Son of God. He's got to be, but now. Jesus is basically transfigured in front of them,
right?
And a cloud with God the Father in it comes over them, and there's literally fall on their face, and they're just freaked out.
It's a major encounter. I mean,
and then
it's a
major encounter. They put their face to the ground, and then when they look up, it's all gone.
Right. It's so wild. So let's look at the meaning of transfiguration, because we were talking about like, what does that really mean?
What did he look like?
Yeah, it says the central point of the first three verses. In this word, the word is the center of the whole passage, which is transfigured, right? That's the key word. And we know that the Greek term is a well-known English term called metamorphosis.
Right.
So they were seeing almost the, you know, that saying, the end from the beginning? It was they were seeing the end before Jesus was actually dying, so, you know, or going to die on the cross. And
they were seeing his
glorified. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, that word describes the complete change or the form of substance of like our beings, like who we are. For example, we use it to describe the change from like a caterpillar to a butterfly.
Right. You know, totally different.
It's a completely different insect when it goes in and when it comes out. So, you know, we have this complete change in the appearance and the form of Jesus that happens in the presence of the disciples. They get to see a few of them. And now, you know, it's this brighter, this light, it's revealing the glory.
Sure.
It's really crazy. It's really good.
Yeah, I know. Well, in the transfiguration, you know, you also have Moses and Elijah appear. And they talk with the Lord, you know, with Jesus. And Moses represents the law. And Elijah represents the prophets.
This is deep.
Yeah. And Moses represents those who have died in the Lord, and Elijah is representing, you know, those who have not.
That's so wild.
You've got this overall balance happening between the two of them.
Yeah. So let's look at the parallel accounts of Moses and Elijah if we were doing our homework. You know, Moses wrote the law, which you mentioned, which anticipated the sacrificial atonement of the Messiah, that atonement. And Elijah, was there to come to prepare the hearts of the people for the coming of the
right.
Lord. That was the prophetic part of who Elijah was, you know?
Yeah, I mean, well, Moses went up on Mount
Sinai. Yeah,
and,
right.
And because he was with the Lord of glory there, his face was shining similar to what Jesus was when he came down.
I remember
down.
That story.
And then Elijah, you know, he never died, but was taken up to the glory, you know, in this whirlwind, in this chariot of fire.
Right. So they're both talking about Christ, and the parallel tells us that they both spoke about Jesus' departure, and you know, in Exodus, and then they both spoke on his coming death. But by the time the Bible, it says it uses, you know, what we know, they speak of this fulfillment of this great deliverance in Egypt. You know, all of
right.
these things are being mentioned. It's so crazy. This is what I'm talking about, the depths of what God was doing and how he used the examples, and there's parallels, and it goes back to
all the Old
Testament
does is point to Jesus
it
in
does,
every
but
aspect.
It's almost like, have you ever listened to Robin Bullock? He does a really good example of saying that, like, Genesis and Revelation, you can read Genesis and then read Revelation, and they're parallel.
Right.
Like, you can continue to match the beginning from the end.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, it's that stuff that makes your head twist. You've got to be fully alert and had a good night's sleep to go into the details of that. But, you know, this the vision was then so clear that Christ was revealed in his glory, and he was joined by Moses and Elijah to indicate that he was about to fulfill the law and the prophets, and that the death cannot destroy the glory that was going to follow. They just got to see that glory beforehand.
Sure. Well, I mean, I can imagine being there with the three, you know, and you know, you look at Peter, you know, and everybody. I mean, Matthew, he doesn't tell us why Peter said what he said.
Right.
Like, I want to build a shelter, an mm-hmm. altar, really, is what he wanted to build. You know, and, you know, he simply reports, Matthew does, that the suggestion of Peter to make these shelters is to celebrate the fulfillment of the promises. You
so
know,
good.
Because we're just thinking like, oh, yeah, he just wants to
Peter.
Create a memorial or
right,
whatever
right.
so they can remember. But
right.
it was way more than that.
It was.
You know,
it was.
We were
it was
talking
really,
about this a little bit.
Yeah, it was know? It was not self-willed. It wasn't like just a thing that he wanted to do for
right.
himself. He saw it in a different way. And, you know, we know that in the scripture it says, Lord, if it is good for us to be here, if you wish. You know, so Peter loved the Lord and was willing to do anything if he wished. He was asking him, did you want to do this, you know?
Well, the second part of that passage, you know, is a word from heaven as well. You know, it's not so much a response to Peter as it is a revelation that dominates everything that was happening. And in a way, it completely overshadows whatever Peter thought or said.
Right. You know, so let's break down the word from heaven. It was one thing to see Jesus transfigured with his clothing and his appearance, and he's
shining
brighter than the sun.
Whoa.
And, you know, that was very frightening, I'm sure, to the disciples to see this. And as, you know, the other gospels say the same thing, but it was another thing to hear a voice from heaven. You know, they had not ever heard that before either. So they hear this voice from heaven confirming that Jesus was the Son of God. And you're right, that was that confirmation.
Well, he made three different declarations in that.
Right, there were like three points.
Jesus is my son.
That's right.
You know, and Jesus is loved by me, the Father, and
that's
he's
right.
pleasing to me. And then, you know, and that you need to listen to him.
That's right. Obey
him. That's the big one.
Yes, listen to what he says.
This is my son. I'm sending him. He's going to be amazing. I love him. He's all thing, but listen to what he says.
You know, now that I think about it, we're 28 miracles in, and who knows how many other ones that weren't documented or recorded. It's still interesting that God had to tell them to listen to him.
Right.
It kind of makes you wonder, and well, actually, I know the next miracle that's coming that actually confirms this, there was still this transformation happening in them with unbelief or doubt or just their faith being tested and challenged in ways that, you know, we can't judge because we weren't there and seeing these things that defied law and, you know, but it just definitely makes you think
about it. Yeah, I think we're all challenged that way in some respects, you know, to hear Jesus. We know that, or I know that Jesus's voice is true in my life.
Right.
But I've got to come to this place where I trust it and I believe it and I'm always willing to obey mm-hmm. what God says. And sometimes I question God, just like other people mm-hmm. do as well, you know. And I think that he's just trying to say, trust me. Listen to what I'm saying.
Listen to
me. I know the best way.
He is my son. I love him and listen to him, you know.
Yeah.
It's interesting that all these ideas were also being, if you think about it, they were being challenged by the Pharisees, by the religious leaders, you know. They were questioning and being questioned by those people, you know, at that same time.
Sure.
Yeah. So the disciples were really terrified at that voice, and they fell on their faces. But Jesus came to them and comforted them. It was a simple word from him, and he said to them, you know, get up, don't right. be afraid. Again, no different than he did in the boat and yeah. all the other times. And when the disciples looked up, they saw no one else but Jesus. Yeah. I think that's really significant.
Sure. Well, I think the revelation is this, that you know, what they had seen wasn't supposed to strike fear in them. You know, the revelation was given to the disciples to convince them and to encourage them and to strengthen them in their faith and their obedience, because they were really the three. They were the closest ones with Jesus. You know, he's like, you right. guys come up. I'm going to show you a side of me
right.
that you've never seen before.
Because of this, touched them, the touch was not simple proof that he was real, but that they were his friends.
Yeah.
So if you think about the touch that way, you know, it was accepted by him. It was a reassuring touch followed by the words, don't be afraid. So it wasn't that he was trying to tell them, it's me, I really am real. They yeah. were standing there looking at it. It was that fear that tried to overcome them, which could be a whole nother way to spin this, but it was his way of saying, do not be afraid.
Right.
I am with you, and this is me.
I know this is a big, big deal.
You just right. saw I know me. You just got
saw
really
me transfigured
out.
Right before your eyes. You know, can you imagine the walk down the mountain after that?
Yeah. It would be
on the way down the mountain, Jesus is he's cautioning them. He's saying to the disciples, don't tell anyone what you've seen until I'm raised from the dead. So now and he's telling them, I'm going to die and I'm right. going to be raised from the dead.
There's this warning to the disciples that gives this indication directly that he is going to die, which must have been a roller coaster of a who knows how long this
sure.
lasted. Like, was it a couple seconds or was it?
Right. You mean the transfiguration, right?
Right. It's so like, they're going through this roller coaster of emotions. They've just seen Jesus transfigured. They've just heard God. They saw Moses and Elijah, and now Jesus is like, and by the way, I'm going to die.
Right.
This is a lot for them to process, you know. And meanwhile, they're still on the go and they're on the move and they're about to head right to the next miracle.
I can imagine that they didn't necessarrily know for sure what he meant at that point by being raised from the dead.
I'm sure it was a little confusing.
Prior to the transfiguration, I think he had predicted his death a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Peter had protested that
yeah,
as well.
He's
like, I'll be with you. I'll fight for you and I'll do all this. So, you know.
Peter. You know, the revelation of the transfiguration would be a prophetic revelation of the glory of Christ, and the resurrection from the dead would be the confirmation of what the transfiguration declared. It's,
right.
it's really, you know, interesting. So if the news of the transfiguration would have spread prematurely, it would have been very misunderstood, and many of the
sure.
followers of Jesus would try to enthrone him or, you know, make him king
right.
When he went up to Jerusalem to die, you know, for their sins. They would have tried to change, which we know that they couldn't have, but it wasn't the way that God wanted it. He
right.
this was a very intentional purpose in between these miracles right before Jesus' death to show them the glory.
Yeah.
Because of what they were about to walk through so that
sure.
they could endure that terrible time of watching Jesus and what happened to him before he rose from the dead.
Yeah, and then let's kind of spin back a little bit to Elijah and Moses as well. You know, the disciples had seen Christ in his glory, and then they had seen Moses and Elijah, you know, but they're told not to say anything about it until Jesus died and was rose again. And Jesus' answer was, you know, Elijah comes and will restore all things. And that's the future.
Right.
You know, he's telling them, and, you know, that's that not yet moment of, you know, the Elijah prophecy in Malachi.
Right, exactly.
And then tying it in with John the Baptist. I mean, that's crazy. So
it is.
You know.
But then Jesus added what we call the already by saying, but I tell you, Elijah has already come. And they did not recognize him, and he was speaking, like you said, of John the Baptist. But that last chunk there is a little bit confusing to me.
Sure.
I had to you know, read it a few times to grasp what was happening and why he was using these, because he's like in the now, and then he's talking about the future, and then he's saying the past already happened.
Sure. So
there's a lot,
well,
but it's all these.
John the Baptist, wasn't Elijah. But he was
exactly.
in the spirit of Elijah. He was coming to prepare the way of the Lord, which is what the prophets do.
Exactly.
They come to speak and prepare the people for the word of the Lord or the way of the Lord in what they're doing. So John the Baptist had the most prophetic ministry of all to basically confirm the Christ and to bring people into a place of knowing that, you know, he's not the Messiah, but the Messiah is coming, and to get ready, and then Jesus shows up on the scene.
Right, because the teaching about John is not teaching reincarnation. You know, it's not saying that he was reincarnated. Jesus is simply saying that John came as that fulfillment of that prophecy that Elijah would come first or should come first.
Right.
You know, it wasn't time for the fulfillment of all the things is basically what Jesus was saying, and John did not turn the nation around because he was captured and he was put to death. So Jesus is using lots of parallels, the end from the beginning.
Yeah. I love the law and the prophets part, though.
Yeah, it's really
cool. Of Moses being the law and Elijah
being the prophetic.
The prophet.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, that tells you how important.
Because the prophets were pointing to Christ. Mm-hmm. And the law was saying, you need a Savior, you need a Savior, mm-hmm. you need a Savior. Mm-hmm. So they really do work in an amazing dynamic together to show us our need for a Savior and that Jesus is that Savior.
You know, Jesus will also be, he's going to be seized and put to death, and he was telling the disciples that before that crown had to be the cross, you know, before that glory had to be the cross. And so, and both John and Jesus had to suffer at the hands of these wicked people.
Sure.
So this is a jam-packed first out the gate miracle for the
week. Welcome to the week.
Really is good. So we've covered a lot. We did. I think we did pretty good. Hopefully,
yeah, I think so. I hope you guys are just amazed at the fact that, you know, they saw Jesus transfigured, and one day we're going to see Jesus in that same light. You know,
so
as we see him as he is, you know, and he's described the same way in the book of Revelation as well, as light, bright, and shining as the sun. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll come back in just a moment.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence, 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, welcome back, everybody, to Turn the Light On.
We're back.
We've been talking about the transfiguration of Jesus, and like you said earlier, Cher, some people have argued, is this really a miracle? Yes, I think so.
But I think so, too.
Did it happen to other people? No, but it did happen to the three disciples.
Yeah, a really personal thing that they got to be a part of that, you know? That had so much depth and meaning. And you know, one of the things that we know is that the disciples were unclear about the death and the resurrection, but we know afterward that they would understand more fully, you know, the reason for this revelation on the mountain.
Yeah.
So it's really
cool. I love the idea that Jesus is trying to reveal himself, you know, to the disciples as who he really is. And then Elijah and Moses are there to confirm that the law was pointing to Jesus and the prophets were pointing to Jesus. And I just want people out there, you know, I want to kind of bring it to you guys just for a minute and say, Jesus is trying to transfigure in front of all of us. He's trying to reveal himself to each of you out there
right.
in your lives. And some of you may be listening today and you're like, well, I don't know if Jesus is real. I don't know if this is really where it's at, you know. And I'm here today to say, God has revealed himself to me. I know, Cher, he's revealed
right.
himself to you.
Right.
And I believe that Jesus is looking to reveal himself to each and every one of us out there.
God loves us, and he desires that we're in the glory with him. We can experience his glory here on earth, you
Absolutely.
Know, through our worship and through our time well spent. And everything leads back. That was a very intimate moment, and this would be a great example of the importance of having intimacy with God and with Jesus in your quiet time. It's that encounter, you know, that changes you. It's the encounter that gives you that hunger and that desire
yeah.
for more. It's the encounters that I think that people don't realize the depths of how we can encounter the Lord in his glory
yeah.
and what that tangible presence of God is
sure.
when you're in it. Because once you've experienced it, you can't
yeah.
go back. You will understand why. How could people spend so much time just worshiping? That seems so boring.
Right.
Or how can they just sit there
it's
and pray?
You see him.
But when you have where that glory rolls in, that presence and that encounter, it changes you. We're sitting
yeah.
here smiling. You guys
sure.
can't see us because we've
yeah.
experienced it.
Yeah,
and once you've had that encounter, that's what you desire and that's what you crave, and you really don't
yeah.
care what anybody else thinks because
I,
you know they
yeah.
haven't had it yet.
I love it. I heard the voice of the Lord come to me one day and he said, this is my son.
Aww.
Believe in him, trust him,
right,
listen
right.
to him, you know. And that's what I would say to each of you guys, you know, trust the Lord.
That's right.
Hey, we want to just say thanks again for tuning into the program. This is Kevin and Cher.
Bye,
we'll
you
see
guys.
You guys.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Maryland, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.